I'd appreciated it as well. I'm used to it at home, so it's not a new thing for me. But I still appreciate it, just the same. You can tell that I'm a man useless without a woman. Apparently it stands out, it's just instantly recognisable. Fortunately, I have a wonderful woman at home who looks after me wonderfully.
Too well, almost.
Too well, actually. That's why I don't stand sideways. I always stand front ways. No, she's a love, and she sends her love to you all. Family duties, the reason she's not here. So, well, we're getting down to some final ticks. That's it then. Job done. Just one important point that was raised by a lady this morning, just so there's no confusion, and I'm glad when people question things. Because sometimes we can all receive things a little differently, can't we? When we say Pentecost is finished, we're talking about the time period in God's calendar. Some people think that Pentecost is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. They're different things. That actually happened at Pentecost, but it wasn't Pentecost. Pentecost was before that, wasn't it? So we don't miss the Holy Spirit. This morning we celebrated the Passover, didn't we? Jesus was our Passover. We never lose it. We never forget it. He's our Passover lamb. And we ate the bread and we drank the wine because we belong to him. And we will do that as we come together in his name. In the same way, the events that happened at Pentecost remain, of course. When we discover the Passover lamb, we've discovered Jesus. We've discovered Jesus. But of course, as you know, some people stay at Passover. There are many denominations that deny the Holy Spirit and his work. Trying to describe to someone in Passover that there's more isn't easy, is it? To say, as well as Christ as your Saviour, God can fill you with his Holy Spirit and bring gifts to men. That still remains. So the event of the Holy Spirit remains with us. What we were saying here is the Lord has mapped these out as dispensations of time. And what was interesting about Pentecost, it's a time when God has moved despite the leaven. Just as the Pentecost feast. So this Pentecost is linked to the original Pentecost feast, not the baptism of the Holy Spirit, in case there was confusion. So thank you for bringing that up. And so, as a time span, God has moved despite the leaven in that feast period. And now God wants to move without the leaven in this next feast period. Does that make sense now? Yeah? Something's very interesting. You know, God's a great God of numbers, isn't he? I keep mentioning this. You know, we have seven feasts. Seven is complete. And when God starts something that's meant to be seven, it finishes at seven. We learned the things about ten. When he starts things in tens, it finishes at tens. And three is also another one of God's numbers. There's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have one God, but he's a three-part being. This session today, I'm sure for many will be very new. But what I would ask is think about it before rejecting it, you know. New things don't always sit comfortably with us. But how are we going to grow if we don't accept new things? When someone is outside Passover, it's very difficult to get them to move to Passover. This morning we had the pain of some of our families struggling to recognize Jesus as the Passover lamb. And I'm sure many of us know the problems of trying to introduce the Holy Spirit to those who have found Christ as Savior, even. Even in the scriptures, if I have Jesus, I have everything. That's a misquote. In Christ, we can have everything. But Jesus came to take us on to something else. And he is the door to that something else. So he himself can provide everything. And now we're going to look at some scriptures. See, because of Jesus, we could have the Holy Spirit. So it didn't stop with Jesus, did it? Because he cleansed us, because he washed us clean, because we are a new vessel, we can contain the Holy Spirit. So it didn't stop there, did it? It didn't stop at Passover. Didn't stop at Jesus on the cross and his resurrection. The work that he did enabled us to receive the Holy Spirit. When we read the story of the wineskin, the old wineskins were like a bottle of leather. It was just like a leather bag. You poured in the wine. The bottle, as it used to ferment, used to swell and then go hard. Put the string round the top. And then that bottle would go harder, almost like a wooden bottle. Now, when that wine bottle was used, they could put other things in that bottle and pour water from it, but they couldn't put new wine back in and seal it up. Because if they put new wine in that old wineskin, the fermentation would crack the leather and it would all be spilt. So we have a parable. You can only put new wine in a new wineskin. Then we are taught the Holy Spirit is the new wine. So the Holy Spirit won't come in and dwell in an old life. So in Christ, we are made new. We become a new being. We are born again. So that we can go on to stage two. The new wine can come into the new wineskin. And we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. That happened at Pentecost. It wasn't Pentecost. Okay? How many beings are in the Trinity? Who are those persons? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Ah. There's one missing. There's one missing. The Lord showed me something many years ago. Only more recently have I connected it to tabernacles. Paul deals with this, we think, for the benefit of the Ephesian church. Normally I read the scriptures out at length, but because of interpretation time, I'm going to paraphrase from memory. Can you remember how hard it was for you to receive Christ as your Saviour before you knew him? Have you seen the difficulty that people have receiving the Holy Spirit when they already think they have everything? What I'm going to suggest is maybe it is just as difficult for us to understand that there is more. And what is unique, I believe, about tabernacles is God is going to raise a church that understands the Father's will. Jesus said he didn't do anything of himself. The words that he spoke were the words his Father gave him. And the actions that he did were the actions that his Father told him to do. Now we are told to be the same as him. Actually, the church is meant to do the Father's will. Someone mentioned this morning, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. In all the pain and agony, knowing what he was going to go through. Not my will, Father, but let yours be done. Something has to happen. I believe that within the body of Christ, there's been a loss of understanding the Father. And something missing about coming to know the Father. I watch and I see the church operating. Jesus is my Saviour, and it's wonderful. And the Holy Spirit is moving me here. But actually, it's the Father who directs our every step. Do you know where you live? Where you work? The order of your life? It's the Father's will. And so many Christians aren't in the right place and feel uneasy about where they should be and what they should do, because it's the fellowship with the Father that is missing. Because the Father is the one who directs our lives. Now let's look at some scriptures, because I've said a lot, but let's see the word. I'm going to paraphrase. Paul saying to the Ephesians in chapter 1, you can read it in your own time, But he says, I know that you have been redeemed by the Son, the Lord Jesus. In verse 7, you know, we have redemption through his blood. But he goes on to say to the Ephesian church, but as well as being redeemed by the Son, the Passover, verse 13 onwards, you've also been sealed with the Holy Spirit. So he's saying you now have two parts of the Trinity at work in your life. The Son and the Holy Spirit. Now they needed to be ready, or is he speaking to us as well? After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, verse 15, this is, and your love for all the saints. This is after I heard this. So he saw an obedient church. Then I began to pray a new thing. Paul said, I've started to pray for you. Now I know that you know Jesus. And now that I know that you have the Holy Spirit, I'm praying for something else. He says, that verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him. What's Paul saying? You already know Jesus. You already know the Holy Spirit. But I am praying. Now I can see you are obedient and you love the saints. I am praying that you actually come to know the Father. You can't introduce Jesus to somebody, can you? And just say, oh, by the way, here's Jesus, and everything's fine. You know, it's by revelation. We can hear the gospel, I did, for 24 years from my mother, and heard it time and time and time and time again. But one day, Jesus was revealed to me, and I was instantly changed. For me, I jumped into Pentecost and the baptism very quickly. It was 2 days later when somebody said, were you baptized in the Holy Spirit on the Monday when you gave your heart to the Lord? I said, I don't know. But I answered, this was only on the Wednesday, but this is what I answered. If there's any more of what I had on Monday, I want it. And the Spirit of God fell upon me, and I was changed again. But not long afterwards, something happened that was strange, that I really kept to myself almost for many, many years. A time when I sensed the presence of God more than any other time. God, what am I sensing? What is this moment about? And no jokes about the Star Trek films. I heard a voice. I am your Father. And something happened in my life that transformed me yet again. And from that moment, I could see and understand things that it seemed around me were different. And I've kept this in my heart for many years. And one or two of you maybe have heard me share this. And I've always questioned, is it time? But actually, The day you were introduced to Jesus is a wonderful day, isn't it? And I'm sure the day you were introduced to the Holy Spirit, was a wonderful day. I believe God's people are going to be taken to a place of deepness where they hear the words, I am your Father. And when that moment comes, the discerning of God's will for your life, where you should be, what you should be doing, will fall into place. Because a pathway has been opened, a channel to the Father. And now, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit embraces our life and directs it according to his purpose. We underestimate the role the Father has. See, Jesus doesn't direct our life. That's error. Jesus came to take us to the Father. Jesus said, I can't do anything of myself. It's the Father that's in me that does the works. And people think that Jesus is doing the works in them. No, Jesus came to wash you clean. Jesus came to make you brand new so you could receive the Holy Spirit. There's a scripture, we'll read it in a moment, because by him, Jesus, we both have access by the Spirit to the Father. He shows us our journey. I'm getting ahead of myself. When he says to the Ephesian church, I'm praying the Father reveals himself to you. So as well as having the Son and the Holy Spirit, you will know the Father. Verse 13, chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made near by the blood of Christ. Made near to who? Are made near to the Father. Verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, I'm going to take three steps. By him, I've stepped into Jesus. By Jesus. So I'm not saved, I've stepped into Passover. By Jesus. I now have access through the Spirit, step two, to the Father, stage three. Some people are in the world, have never stepped into Christ. If there's anyone here and you've never stepped into Christ, you don't know what you're missing. And if you've stepped into Christ and you haven't stepped into the Holy Spirit, you don't know what you're missing. But I believe there's something for the church of God that is very tabernacle linked. Because Jesus is saying, the reason I did this was so that you could receive the Holy Spirit and be taken to the Father. If you don't make that journey, what he did is not complete. Because Jesus said, Father, just like you and I are one, you are in me, I am in you. Jesus, he prayed for us. Do you know, one of his last prayers. Jesus didn't say, I want them to come and know me. Jesus said, I want them to know you, Father, like I know you. I want them to know you like I know you. That's what I'm praying for. He has prayed for you. And he has prayed for me to know the Father, just like he did. You see, when you know the Father, you know his will. He reveals his will to you. So doubt disappears. We walk in certainty. The Tabernacle Church will not walk in doubt or in fear. Doubt and fear comes when we don't know where we are and we're not too sure where we're going. But when the Father starts to reveal himself and he says, this is the way, walk it. Well, there may be persecution. There may be problems. But that's the way. So we walk it. We walk it boldly. Because we know it is the Father's will. John's Gospel is a lot of this in John's Gospel. You know, the Father is a great object of our worship, you know. Jesus said in John 4:23, the hour comes and now is when the true worshippers, now this is interesting, the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. Jesus is the word of truth and he is truth. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So the Father is the one that's worshipped by truth and in spirit in Christ, and in the Holy Spirit we worship the Father. John 14. Isn't it interesting? The Father is seeking. The Father is seeking such to worship him. Another misquoted scripture. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And they stop there. They stop there. Well, he's the way of salvation. Jesus is the way of this. He's the way of whatever. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus came to take us to the Father. I want to give you a picture of how I see this in heaven, if you like. Well, bear with me, this is just how I see it. That Jesus is in heaven, at one with his Father. He loves the Father loves him, the Holy Spirit joining a one God. Jesus sees the creation that he has created, lost in sin, separated from the Father, and says, I want them, Father, to know you like I know you. So he came down to earth as a man. And God gave his only Son to come to earth, to be a sacrifice. If you read the scriptures, the whole purpose of that sacrifice, which we think was just to save us, because we're selfish, we think it was just to save us. It wasn't. Jesus said, I've come to save you, yes, but to make you righteous and holy so I can lift you up and introduce you to my Father, So you can come to know him like I know him. And Jesus said, I am the life. I am the way. Nobody can find the Father except through me. Why would Jesus say that if he doesn't want us to go to the Father? See, I believe there's a whole new revelation that is going to come upon the body of Christ, which is tabernacles. The Spirit of God. There's going to be a revelation of the Father. And God's people are going to come to a point of hearing the words, I am your Father. And we don't speak to him and get to know him. But actually it's the Father that wants us to tabernacle with him, to abide with him, and to dwell with him. And Jesus has made that possible. Jesus is the only one that can make that possible. He is the only perfect being for the sacrifice. The only lamb without spot and blemish. Jesus goes on in the same chapter to explain to them, Luke, I'm trying to take you to the Father. He's saying, everything I do and everything I say is what's coming from the Father. Why did Jesus never sin? Because he never did anything for himself. And he never did anything of himself. He only did what the Father gave him to do. And he only spoke what the Father gave him to say. That's wonderful obedience. We had a lovely time this morning. I was blessed. I could see the Lord touching hearts. But we got to grow. How much more wonderful it would have been if everything that came was of the Father, and nothing came that wasn't. And the Father started to have his whole way, not part. How we would be changed. How individually, if the Father had his way in your life, I know it would be very different to what it is right now. We need to come to know the Father in a whole new level. Jesus said, it's still the same chapter 14, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we, plural, we will come to him and make our abode with him, our living. That's our tabernacle. That was read out this morning. I think it was Rowley, wasn't it? Love is the start. Jesus said, if you love me, you will start to do the things that are right. If we love him, we'll keep his words. But as soon as that happens, my Father will love him and we will come and make our home with him. The Father is wanting in your life, individually. We spoke about the corporate a lot this weekend. But this is not a corporate thing. Just like salvation in Jesus is not corporate. It is individual. And the Holy Spirit is not a corporate thing. Individually we receive the Holy Spirit. Several can get the revelation at the same time, but it's individual. Same with the Father. He knows. And Paul didn't pray this for the Ephesians until they had come to a state of obedience, maturity. They loved the saints. Very, very key. Our love for one another is a sign of a good heart. I'll let you read more of this in your own time in John's Gospel. Verse 31, he says, just as the Father has given me a commandment, that's exactly what I do. That's what I do. John 17, verse 3. This is eternal life, Jesus is saying, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who you've sent. The rest of John 17, particularly verse 17 onwards, read in your own time. But this is the greatest prayer of Jesus, where he cries out to his Father. Father, just as you and I are one, I want them to become one with you. Jesus longs for us to know the Father, just as he does. You know, in verse 25, Jesus said, Father, the world hasn't known you. The world doesn't know you. But I know you. I know you. And those around him, they know, they got to the stage where they knew the Father had sent him. Just a little bit in Matthew, just so that we understand the work of the Father in our life. I emphasize this because this has been missing, I think, in teaching. When Jesus answers a question, Jesus, how do we pray? How do we pray? He said, Our Father. Now, I would like to ask you a question. You don't have to answer out loud. When you set yourself to pray and to communicate with God, and you're seeking the things of God, are you actually entering into the Father and in his presence? Or has there been some lack of clarity in this? You see, the Father is the one that we pray to. And the will of God for your life comes from the Father. If you're wondering where your job is, or your new house is, or where you should be and what you should be doing, it's the Father who knows what you should be doing. Jesus won't tell you. If you'd ask him, he'll say, no, I came to take you to the Father, so you could get to know him yourself. Ask the Father. He knows what you should be doing. Well, it's not very good saying this, but I haven't got Passover, so I can only talk to you. Well, in one sense, don't misunderstand this. This does not take Jesus down. But there are three parts to God. And if you want one third, that's okay. But that breaks Jesus' heart, because his Father and his Spirit long to be part of your life. And if you decide, well, two out of three is better than one out of three, and I let the Holy Spirit be at work, Jesus is grieved that you're not with the Father. The Holy Spirit wants to take you to the Father. And the father's left alone without the relationship with his children. Longing to say to you, I am your father. I know the way that you should take. I know the way that you should walk. I know where you should work. I know where you should live. I know who your friends should be. And I know who your friends should not be. I know who should be your wife. I know who should be your husband. He is the one that contains the knowledge of our lives. And Jesus, at great cost, at great pain, and at great sacrifice, made a way open for you to go to the Father yourself. How wonderful! Jesus' joy is complete when you know the Father as he knew the Father. His prayer is answered. The sacrifice was worthwhile. His joy is full. Verse 14, saying one. Just this is the role of the Father in our lives, so you don't miss this. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Who is the one who forgives your sins? We know who was sacrificed for your sins. But who is the one that looked on that sacrifice and said, it is enough. I will now forgive. The Father. Jesus doesn't forgive us our sins. He was the sacrifice for our sins. It's your Father that said to you, my son, my daughter, I am your Father, and I forgive your every sin. Tabernacles is about abiding in God. Coming to a place where we keep his word. Keep his doctrine. When you see a life that actually starts to emit and witness that way of life, as it says in 2 John, whoever transgresses, like continually sins, and he doesn't abide in the doctrine of Christ at all, he doesn't have God. But he that abides in the doctrine, that's dwelling, that's tabernacling, that is he who abides and lives and dwells in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. Because the Father is clearly directing his life. Just a couple more scriptures left, because it is warm. There is something that I've seen that the Father looks for. I think he looks for this before he comes and reveals himself to you. So if Paul prayed that the Father would reveal himself. But there's only one who can take you to him and say, this is my Father. But it's this word separation. Separation. God's people, our lives in tabernacles are going to be increasingly more separate than the way the world lives. The things that the world finds acceptable, you will increasingly find unacceptable to you. The things that the people are at ease with in the world, you will not be at ease with. If God has been knocking on the door of your heart recently and trying to take you here, this is how you are feeling. You are starting to feel like an alien in a foreign land. You are starting to walk down the streets of the shops. And you are starting to say, I don't belong here. What I'm seeing and what is in my heart, I'm not part of this. I'm not from beneath, I'm from above. There's just something that God does to say, come out and be separate. You're not part of this. Is there anyone in the room? You don't have to put your hands up, just in your heart, you know that God is saying to you, you simply don't fit anymore in the world. You are finding it increasingly difficult to fit in the world. The Father is knocking on your heart, trying to say, tabernacle with me. Tabernacle with me. Now, the end of 2 Corinthians 6. And this is also with the system. Why have we felt uneasy in the system? Because the system is of the world. The Father's been knocking on the door, saying, don't tabernacle in that tabernacle, because I'm not there. Tabernacle with me. And that comes by you feeling distinctly uneasy. Am I speaking to some hearts here? Are you starting to feel like an alien in a foreign land? Good, then we can continue with this scripture because it's for you. Verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 6. What agreement has the temple of God got with idols? That was one of the verses he told me, come on out of it. What's the temple of God got to do with idols? Because you are the temple of the living God. If you are the temple of the living God, you don't need to go to a temple because you are the temple. Because God said, and this is important, I will dwell in them, I will walk in them, I will be their God, and they will be my people. Now that's one level of relationship God's talking about, isn't it? I'll be in them, I will be their God, they will be my people. And I trust all of us say, yeah, that's us. You are my God, I am your people. And some people are content with that because they don't read on. In verse 17 it says, wherefore then, come out from among them and be separate. Be separate. And don't touch the unclean things. And I will receive you. Now listen to this. And I will be a father to you. And you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We see a transformation here. What we see is two steps of relationship. I will be your God. You will be my people. But if you come out and separate yourselves, tabernacle with God, then I will be your father. And you will be my sons and daughters. Separation. We don't do the things the world does. When the world lies and the world cheats, we don't do it. We've got to be separate. When the world is immoral and it commits adultery and abuse and all the things that we see, that's what the world does. Come out, be separate, so that I can be your father. People are trapped in habits and pornography and dreadful things of the world. Be separate. Your father is holy, so be you holy. Come out. And be separate. And you will hear the words, I am your father. There's a revelation to come. I've had this for years bubbling up like a volcano. But I know it's the time. Because the church will know their father. And when the father says, walk in that hospital through the front door, then walk out the back door and leave it empty. Then you do what the father gives you to do. I could give you so many testimonies. When I know the father has said something to me, I just cannot deny it. And I have stepped out sometimes, and I know some brothers here have been with me. And God has done the ridiculous. And he has done the amazing. Not because I was there. Not because I did anything. Because the Father said, go and do this. And when we step out, because the Father has said do it. It is done. Nothing can stop you. When he opens the door, no man can close it. And when he closes the door, no man can open it. There's something about separation that has to come to the church. It's not by effort. We'll maybe touch on that tonight. It isn't by effort. It's not by working harder. It's not by trying harder. When the Father speaks, there's an empowering of the Holy Spirit to do it. He just wants a willing heart. So this 100% that was mentioned before, if you've got 60%, you can't try harder for 70. It's about surrender. Not trying harder. Yielding to the Holy Spirit. Maybe just missed one or two of them. Matthew 11. We'll close with this one. What a wonderful place Jesus was in. He said, all things are delivered to me by my Father. I will say something. all the brothers and sisters here, if you surrendered to the Father, as Jesus did, when you walk out that door after this weekend, the works that he did, you would do also, and greater works than these. That's tabernacles, and it's a promise. You cannot do those works without the Father, because the Father knows which works you should be doing. What an amazing transformation it could be for the world, for the entire globe, if on this weekend only one or two walked out of that door, seeking only to do the Father's will, sufficient to turn the world upside down, I tell you. That's all that Jesus did. He said, what we forget, Jesus was a third part of the Trinity. Jesus had power and glory, but he left it in heaven. He didn't bring his power with him. He left it in heaven and came as a man and didn't use his own power to do anything. He said this, I can do nothing of myself. He showed us how it works. Jesus, he left everything in heaven. He says, this is how it works. The Spirit of God in me reveals the Father's will, and I only do what the Father does. That's the process. That's how it works. A son of God is filled with the Spirit so he can speak to the Father. But only Jesus could do it because he was sinless. So for you to do it, he has to come and take your sin away. He gives you his righteousness. Says now the Holy Spirit can come in and you can talk to the Father. So what I did, you can also do. And don't say, Jesus, oh yes, but you were special. He left his specialness in heaven. And he came as a man to show that what a man can do, he can do it by the Spirit, provided he knows the Father's will. Why is Pentecost in part? Because in the majority of cases, we've not fully known the Father's will. But those years ago when men set themselves aside and said, look, Lord, this isn't right. Something's going badly wrong here. We need to know the Father's will. And he has been revealing his will progressively ever since. Now this verse, Jesus said, all things are delivered unto me by my Father. No man knows the Son but the Father. Neither knows any man the Father save the Son. You see, only the Father really knew properly who Jesus was. And only Jesus knew the Father. But he says here, neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he whomsoever the Son wills to reveal him. This is wonderful. He says, now, only I know the Father, and the only people who will know the Father like I do are the people that I decide to reveal him to. So Jesus is with us today by promise in the middle. And Jesus is saying now, in this gathering, in your life, which of those are longing to be separate? Which long for him more than anything else? Who wants to serve me from a pure heart? Who wants to know my ways? Jesus is seeking such so that he can reveal his Father. So he can say, Barry, this is my Father. Father, this is Barry. And the father says, Barry, I am your father. That's as real a revelation and a moment in God as is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as is the revelation of the salvation of Jesus Christ. And at that moment alone do we have Father, Son and Holy Spirit, a completeness. Now we're complete in Christ because in Christ we have access to those things, but it's not automatic. If you surrender your life to Jesus, it isn't automatic that you get the Holy Spirit at the same time, is it? There's a moment that's right for you. But I would suggest the greatest step in transforming a life, because what is the point of knowing God in terms of knowing his salvation if we don't know his will? And I tell you one final thing that I see in this. Selfishness. We're happy to know about the salvation so we're saved, but we don't want to know what the Father wants because we might have to go and do it. You see, with revelation comes responsibility. Because when the Lord says to you, I am your Father, and you hear it, and you say, Lord, I am your Son, I can assure you, he will then say, well, go and do such and such a thing. And then we've got some decisions to make, haven't we? Can we see why the Father has not been revealing himself quite? Because he's looking for hearts like Jesus' heart, like David. Barring his misdemeanor with Bathsheba, he had a heart like God's heart. David had a heart that wanted to do what God wanted, not what he wanted. The biggest change I see in tabernacles, currently, because of leaven, God, he's had a people that want to know about God, but also want to do what they want. Our lives are split. I know about Jesus, so I'm saved. But I still want what I want. Hearts have got to change. So we say, Lord, I'm yours. I don't want what I want. I now want what you want. Now, there must be an element of that in your life because you are here this weekend. Part of coming out the system is saying, Lord, I don't want what men want. I don't want what I want. I want what you want. And there has to be some of that in you for you to have seen what's wrong in the system. And what glues you together this weekend is that similarity. That somewhere you must want what God wants, not what you want. And so God has given you a word this afternoon that is saying to you, if you really want what God wants, then I am your Father. Come and talk to me. Because I am the only one who knows what you should do and where you should be. And Jesus looks, only Jesus knows the Father, and whoever he decides to reveal him to. What a moment, what a time when Jesus says, this is my Father. This is as real a moment as the day of your salvation and the day of the baptism of your Holy Spirit. This is what will take the church to tabernacles. This will make you like Jesus when in the Garden of Gethsemane, or at the moment of your trial, or at the hardest moment of your life, you will still say, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Amen.
Amen.
well, not free from temptation, but overcoming temptation. You know, how is it when men take part to make you king and great crowds followed you? How is it you stayed obedient and humble? Because I know if I receive the smallest blessing from the Lord, almost immediately my heart gets lifted up and the Lord has to humble me. And you get in these cycles, continually having to be humbled. I mean, that's just one example, but it's like a cycle. I thought, Lord, how do you do it? How did you do it when you were in yours? Because I know that you came as a man. And the Lord answered me within seconds, really. He said, because I knew the Father and I loved him.
Yes.
And I felt at the time that was a precious thing, but I didn't really understand it fully till. Yeah, he said, I knew the Father first and then I loved him.
Absolutely. Lovely words.